Thanks, Amy, and welcome to church tonight, and welcome to those of you who are watching on the live stream. We're just beginning live streaming this Easter, so it's all a brand new exercise for us. So it's great that not only you're all here tonight to celebrate together, but who knows how many hundreds of thousands of people are watching us on screen as well. Baptise them in the name of the Father, Son and the Holy Spirit. That's what we'll be doing later in the service, and congratulations to the three candidates who are here tonight and your families. We look forward to that. There's a saying that you can't unring a bell. Once a bell has been rung and you've heard it ring, you can't unring it, you can't unhear it. And that's the same with what we see as well. Once you've seen something, you can't unsee it. That's why it's so difficult when people witness tragedies. Those images and sounds stay with you for the rest of your life. Now put yourself in the shoes of those Roman soldiers guarding Jesus' tomb. Those guards heard and saw things that they'd never ever be able to unsee or unhear. They were among the first witnesses to the empty tomb. They had seen Jesus crucified and then placed and sealed into a tomb. They had stood guard over this tomb to ensure nothing happened to the body. And then they'd experienced things that they could not explain, that were beyond their comprehension. And it's so important for us, living so many hundreds of years later, to know that among the first witnesses to the resurrection were these Roman soldiers. Why do I say that's important? The reason I say that's important is because these Roman soldiers were not sympathetic witnesses. They weren't like Mary Magdalene and the other Mary who were there on the morning, and they weren't like the 11 disciples who would meet Jesus, the risen Jesus, in Galilee. Those people wanted Jesus to come alive. They were praying that Jesus would come alive. But not the Roman soldiers. They were there to make sure nothing happened. They were not sympathetic. You heard the sealer in that was the name of the character in that drama on screen there. He's called the sealer. You heard him say that they would pay with their lives if the body went missing on their watch. But those soldiers felt the earth shake. They saw an angel of the Lord. They felt fear that they'd never felt before. And remember, they were soldiers. And most importantly, they looked into the tomb and there was nobody there. These sorts of things they could never unsee and unhear. Now, more than likely, they didn't know the meaning of what they were experiencing, but they knew what they saw. And as the sealer says, all you need to know is that when I looked inside the tomb, the man I'd seen executed in the most brutal crucifixion was just gone. And that's the story they told the religious leaders when they went to them. And immediately the religious leaders said, no, we can't let that story get out. Let's create a new story. And the new story is the disciples, his followers, came in the night and stole his body while you guys were all asleep. Here's some money. Go and spread that story. So that's what they did. And while spreading a lie would be no big deal for these soldiers, I suppose, it's unlikely that they forgot what actually happened, because they knew they'd witnessed something quite supernatural, something they couldn't deny no matter how much money they'd been paid. Now, the gospel writers who've recorded the facts about Jesus' resurrection want you to see the resurrection through the eyes of some of these men, of these soldiers, because they are not sympathetic. These soldiers represent the Roman Empire, the oppressors of Israel. They have nothing to gain in telling some sort of false story about a resurrection. And interestingly, they're not the first Roman soldiers to have had some encounter with God around this time. At the crucifixion, just a couple of days earlier, we hear another Roman centurion saying of Jesus, "Surely he was the Son of God," in Matthew's version. And then in Luke's version, the centurion looks at Jesus on the cross and says, Surely he was a righteous man. That means he'd done nothing wrong. He was a victim. He didn't deserve to die. And so it's important that these Romans are witnesses to Jesus' death and resurrection, primarily because they don't come to the events of the cross and resurrection as believers. And yet their hearts are affected, and in some cases, their hearts are changed. The gospel writers want us to identify with men like these hard-bitten professional Romans with their feet on the ground, who will not be taken in by some religious fraud. We know where the fraud is in the story. The fraud is not in the empty tomb. The fraud is in the story of body snatching that the religious leaders created. But in our drama, we get the true story from the sealer. He says to us near the end of that, if you're watching, I'm telling you the real story. The truth is this. He wasn't just gone. He was alive. He is alive. And this truth that Jesus is alive, that he'd been raised from the dead, this truth spreads like wildfire around the Middle East over the coming centuries, eventually spreads into Europe, and would eventually come even to a far-flung place like Melbourne. And the testimony of witnesses, both sympathetic and unsympathetic, is recorded in the pages of the New Testament so that anyone today can read and investigate the resurrection for themselves. The Roman soldiers may have taken the bribe and spread lies made up by the religious leaders, but those men would not be able to forget, no matter how much they tried. Now, what they ultimately did with their experience of the resurrection, we don't know. Maybe as old men, they sat around and reflected and wondered about who this Jesus was. Or perhaps they just tried to forget about it and move on with life. But what matters most tonight is not what they did with the reality of the resurrection, but what you and I will do with it from tonight onwards. Does the fact that Jesus was raised from the dead change anything? Does it change our lives? Does it change what we think about Jesus? Does it change what we think about God? Or would we rather forget about it and just move on to the next thing? Do you know that this year, 2022, we're celebrating the 100th anniversary of the discovery of the tomb of Tutankhamun, one of the pharaohs in Egypt, that was discovered in the Valley of the Kings in Egypt by famous Egyptologist Howard Carter in 1922. Tutankhamun's body had been sealed up, hidden away for hundreds and hundreds of years, and then Howard Carter and his team discovered it, so to speak. And this is a big deal. In Egypt, they're building a massive new museum to house Tutankhamun and all the artefacts that were discovered with his body. And that's what you would expect, wouldn't you? You put a body in a tomb, you seal it up, and you can wait hundreds and hundreds of years and come back and the body is still there and you can find it. But not with Jesus. The tomb was empty and the body was not to be found. And why is that? Because he has risen from the dead. So this year, some people will be celebrating a tomb with a body, but Christians all over the world are celebrating a tomb without a body because Jesus was raised. Now, it's wonderful that we're all here tonight, and some of you have been Christians a long time, but some might be here tonight who are not yet Christians. If you're here tonight and you're in that category, you're not yet a Christian, but you're interested in finding out more, draw your attention to the announcement that Renee made earlier on about a short course called Hope Explored. It will teach you a little bit about the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus in just 3 nights. So if you're interested, please join us for that. And as Renee said, just look on our website. If you'd prefer to read something, I have a few copies of a little book. It's called Easter Uncut, subtitled What Really Happened and Why It Really Matters. It goes through the last week of Jesus' life and explains what happens at the cross and resurrection. It's only that big. It's only 72 pages. And if you like reading, come and see me after the service, or I'll leave them out in the foyer. Be delighted to give you a copy, no strings attached. For those of us who call ourselves Christians, we too have been sealed. Not like the tomb was sealed, or like a letter was sealed with wax, as you saw him place that seal down on the letter. But we have been sealed. If you're a Christian, you have been sealed with the Holy Spirit. The Apostle Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 that God has set his seal of ownership on us and put his Spirit in our hearts as a deposit guaranteeing what is to come. So when someone puts their faith in Christ, as our baptismal candidates have done, Bronte, Hayden and Jamie, God puts his Holy Spirit in our hearts, and it's as if the Holy Spirit has put a seal on our hearts that says, I belong to God. So if you're a Christian here tonight, I want you to know that your destiny, your identity in Christ is absolutely secure. You are a son or a daughter of God, and your future is absolutely certain. It is to be a disciple of the risen Lord Jesus, and then when the time comes, to be raised to live with him forever. And so this Easter Sunday night, we celebrate the resurrection with Christians through the centuries from that very first Easter. We celebrate with Christians all over the globe, including our dear brothers and sisters in the Ukraine, who come tonight or come today to say, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Or if you're an Anglican, and I won't ask, we say, Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again. God bless you, and congratulations to those getting baptised in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ tonight. Amen.